That's kind of neat. Now, one day she'll stand up here and sing, you know, Not Be Hidden. So this week, Chris and Ray head out to Oklahoma to be with the Girdhams. And on Wednesday, Raylene finds out whether it's a boy or a girl. And so I already know what the names might be, but I'll keep my mouth shut. That's a good thing, huh? Good thing. All right, anyway. So it's last Sunday was my granddaughter Savannah's first birthday over in China. So that was kind of cool. It's kind of sad not to be with her for that, but anyway. So anyway, it's interesting times around our family. Let's have a word of prayer and we'll get right into the message today. Father, I thank you for what we just sang. Thank you that we were once your enemies, but now we're seated at your table. One day we get to be with you at the marriage supper of the Lamb, all because of what your Son, Jesus Christ, has done for us, his shed blood. And it truly has washed away our sins. My prayer request today, Lord, I ask that if there's anyone here today that does not know the Lord Jesus as their own Savior, that today they would ask you simply by faith to save them, to forgive their sin, put their trust in the work that your Son did on Calvary, believing that his blood truly can do what your Bible tells us can wash away their sin. God, we'll thank you for that. For those who know you as Savior here in this auditorium this morning, we ask, Lord, that we would grow in Christ, become more like your Son, do a special work. Use me today. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. The 150th Psalm, the first verse we quoted here just a few moments ago, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. I want to preach to you this morning about the importance of praise. You know, we're anticipating this week of Thanksgiving, as we often call it. I want to speak to you about the importance of praise. It's not always easy to praise. And some of you, having gone through recent heartache, understand that. It's not always easy to praise, but it is always important to praise. Always important to praise. David reminds us that God inhabits praise. It's one of the most interesting verses to me in the Old Testament. The 22nd Psalm, the 3rd verse. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. You realize if you are one of God's people today, God inhabits your praise. And this morning I want you to see how important it is to praise by looking at the life of an Old Testament man by the name of Jehoshaphat. A number of you are familiar with him, some may not be. I want you to turn here to 2 Chronicles. We're going to read the first 6 verses introducing you to this man, Jehoshaphat. Verse 1 says, And Jehoshaphat his son reigned in his stead and strengthened himself against Israel. And he placed forces in all the fenced cities of Judah and set garrisons in the land of Judah and in the cities of Ephraim, which Asa his father had taken. And the Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he walked in the first ways of his father David and sought not unto Balaam, but sought to the Lord God of his fathers, and walked in his commandments, and not after the doings of Israel. Therefore the Lord established the kingdom in his hand, and all Judah brought to Jehoshaphat the presents, and he had riches and honor in abundance. Now, this is a great verse, verse 6. And his heart was lifted up in the ways of the Lord. Moreover, he took away the high places and groves out of Judah. This introduces you to this man, Jehoshaphat. He was one of the most righteous kings of the nation of Judah. And God did a special work in his days. This man was blessed, and you notice back in verse 5 that he was so close to the Lord and so blessed of the Lord that he had riches and honor in abundance, the Bible says. So this was a blessed man. But even into the lies of those that God delights in, even into the lives that those that seem very greatly blessed, trials do fall. Now look over at chapter 20, 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And I'm going to read a lengthy passage to you, and I hope you'll bear with me, beginning in verse 1. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, beginning in verse 1. It came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them others beside Ammonites, came to Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, "There cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side of Syria. And behold, they be in Hazeon Tamar, which is in Gedi." And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord, and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court, and said, "O Lord God, our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in the hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham thy friend forever? And they dwelt therein, and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, If, when evil cometh upon us, as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house, and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. And now, behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee." Here's a man who is greatly blessed of God. And yet, even into his life, this man that God very much delighted in, even into his life, trials came. Now, I want you to notice in verse 3, when this trial befell him, I want you to notice the attitude in the heart of Jacob, or Jehoshaphat. Verse 3, we're told that Jehoshaphat feared. Jehoshaphat feared. Now, thankfully, fear did not cause him to falter. Nevertheless, fear was in his heart. And sometimes, you know, we say you should not fear, and that's true. God does not want us to fear. He's not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. That's true. But if we're honest with ourselves, even the bravest have moments of fear. I've never fought in combat, but I've talked to those who have. And the bravest of the brave have moments of fear. They do not let fear overtake them. They move forward. And you find throughout the Word of God, whether it's here with some of these Old Testament kings, especially David, admittance of fear. What time I am afraid, I will what? I will trust in thee. It's not so much that moment of fear, it's what you do with that moment of fear. Whether you're going to cower and run, or whether you're going to stand up to it and put your trust in the Lord. Jehoshaphat did not falter, but it did cause him to seek after God. And if your fears will cause you to seek after God, then sometimes fear can almost be a good thing, if it's going to make you turn to God. You also notice in verse 9 that Jehoshaphat said he was in affliction. As he prays before God, he mentions the fact that they are in affliction. So this trial brought on fear. This trial in Jehoshaphat's life brought on affliction. And in verse 12, he admits, he says, "God, we have no might. We have no might. Listen, God, I cannot overcome in my own abilities and strength," is basically what Jehoshaphat was saying. "I fear. I have affliction. I have no power to overcome." And then one of the last statements in verse 12 is this, that he did not know what to do. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been there? You've been afraid. You're under great affliction. You have no strength. And you simply don't know what to do. Have you ever been there? Jehoshaphat was there. And the reality is, into everyone's life, no matter how blessed of the Lord you may be, no matter how right with the Lord you may be, you might be like a Jehoshaphat, but the reality is trial will come. But you notice at the end of verse 12, he says, but our eyes are upon thee. When trial comes into your life, you have one person to turn to that can actually do you some good. And that's your Savior. So here's Jehoshaphat in this moment where he is in fear and affliction and has no might and does not know what to do. And he chooses to turn toward God and call out to him. He seeks after God. And I want you to notice what happens. Look at verse 13. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. Then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jeiel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation, and he said, hearken ye all Judah and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours but God's. Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook, before the wilderness of Jeruel. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. I want you to notice, when he cried out, because he had fear, he was in affliction, because he did not know what to do and had no might to overcome this trial that was in his life, he cried out to God. He sought God, and God responded. God's word was spoken by God's man, and told him that God wanted to bring a great deliverance and a salvation to Jehoshaphat and his people. What do you do when trial comes into your life and fear comes and you're in affliction and you have no might to overcome the situation? Quite frankly, you do not know what to do. What do you do? I can tell you what Jehoshaphat did. He sought after God. He sought after God. And he found the answer in God's word. You notice there in verse 15, the middle of the verse, thus saith the Lord unto you. Thus saith the Lord. Every time, look at me, every time you pick up this book and you spend time in it, this is what's happening. Thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. When you come and you sit in these pews and you hear, whether it's myself or next week Dr. Van Gelderen or whoever it may be that stands behind this sacred desk, you are hearing, thus saith the Lord. When you sit in the Cornerstone class or the New Beginnings class or the Pilgrim's Progress class, whatever it may be, you are hearing from those who teach you, thus saith the Lord. God's word, spoken by God's man, can make a powerful difference in your life. God's word, spoken directly to your heart, as you say to him, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of the law, will make a great difference in your life, because we are all like Jehoshaphat. We all have trial. We all have fear. We are in the midst of affliction. We have no might to overcome the trial, and quite frankly, we do not know what to do. Jehoshaphat was in the same boat. He sought after the Lord, and God gave him an answer through his word, through that prophet, through that man of God. Now I want you to notice what happened when this was brought forth to Jehoshaphat. Look at verses 18 and 19. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and of the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. I want you to notice, first of all this morning, this, that Jehoshaphat praised by faith. In the midst of his trial, with fear and affliction and no might and not knowing what to do, Jehoshaphat, hearing from God's word, began to praise by faith. Now listen to what I'm saying. God's word said, you're going to get victory. The victory is going to be had for you. But quite frankly, at this point in the account, they had not experienced victory yet. They're still in the midst of the trial. But before victory, they began to praise by faith. You know, I'm a big sports fan. And I've never watched in all my years, whether it's football, basketball, baseball, whatever it is, you never find the fans rushing the field before the game starts. Before battle is ensued on the court or on the field. You know when they rush the field and go, ah, and all that kind of stuff? You know when they do that? Would you like to see me do that again? You know why they do that? Because they just won victory. You know what God is saying? Before the battle is joined, you praise God for victory. Oh, I don't know the outcome yet, God. God says, I do. I do. And you can praise me before, and that's exactly Jehoshaphat's attitude. We're not going to wait to praise him until after we actually see if we beat the Edomites and the Moabites and the Ammonites. I mean, it was a massive army, an alignment of three nations that were marching against what at this time was an extremely small nation called Judah. It was a massive army. Well, we're not going to praise until we actually get victory. If your attitude and my attitude is like that, then we can just expect God to do nothing. Let's be honest. Expect God to do nothing. Why? Because we don't walk by faith. God blesses those that walk by faith, not by sight. Well, I'll believe it when I see it. David said, I have seen, therefore I believe. Or I believe, therefore I will see, rather. I believe, therefore I will see. Jehoshaphat praised by faith. You notice verse 20. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. And one of the reasons that many of us have instability in our lives is because we choose not, listen, we choose not to trust God. We choose not to trust God. It is a choice. And I've learned that a long time ago. It is a choice whether I choose to believe God or not. And sometimes people are very unstable in their lives. And they do not prosper spiritually because they choose not to believe God. Now, again, this is before the battle had even been joined. There was no physical victory yet, but Joshua said, you know what? I'm going to praise my God on purpose. I'm going to praise my God by faith. And one of the greatest ways to demonstrate that you believe God is to praise him in the midst of trial, in the middle of your trial, before you experience victory. Secondly, you find this in verse 21. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness, as he went out before the army, and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. I want you to notice, secondly, that Jehoshaphat praised on purpose. Not only did he praise by faith, but he praised on purpose. You notice in that verse 21, it says that they consulted together, and he appointed singers. Again, no victory in hand. But Joshua purposely praised. You know, I don't want to do things mechanically. I don't want to do things mechanically. I don't want to worship mechanically. I don't want to read my Bible mechanically. I don't want to go before God and make requests mechanically. But sometimes that's not bad. You say, what do you mean? Well, at this point, Jehoshaphat is not necessarily, and especially his people, are not giving God praise because of the great blessing they just received. They haven't received it yet. And so Jehoshaphat says, okay, all right, you Levites and you sons of Aaron, this is what you're going to do. We're going to start marching and you're going to praise him. Let me ask you a question. If you were in Judah's position, let me give a number to it. Sometimes the armies of Judah numbered around 300,000, maybe 500,000 times. But now you're going to go out and face a force of 2.7 million men. Would you be praising? You say, woohoo! You know, we are overwhelmingly disadvantaged. There is no way physically we could ever win. Would you be all that inclined to praise? I wouldn't. I'll just be honest with you. I wouldn't be inclined to praise, but I would. Because this is what I've learned to do in my life. Sometimes I praise even when I don't feel like it. When victory is not yet secured. When I've not tasted triumph yet. I just praise anyway. And sometimes it's just mechanical. I'm just mechanically praising. I like to say that it's really just praising on purpose. You may not feel like it, nevertheless, you do it. Have you ever been at the point where you are so low, you are hurting so much on the inside, or you are so afraid by what you were just told by the doctor, that you don't feel like praising, but you say, you know what, God, let everything that hath breath do what? Let everything that hath breath do what? Praise ye the Lord. That is a command. God, I don't feel like doing this today, but I'm going to do it anyway. I'm going to praise you. God, the news was not good. God, I haven't been delivered yet. God, I don't know how this problem is going to be solved, but I'm going to obey you. I'm going to do exactly what you told me in Psalm 150, verse 1. I'm going to praise you. I'm going to praise you. Now notice what he praised as they're marching along. They didn't praise for victory. It says they praised the beauty of holiness. You say, well, there's not a lot that I feel like I can praise God for because I don't have the financial deliverance yet, or my family hasn't been restored yet, or I haven't been cured yet, or whatever it may be. I don't have anything really to praise the Lord about. Then praise Him in the beauty of holiness. You say, what do you mean? Think about who God is. Think about who God is. He's Jehovah, your supply, your defense. He meets your needs. He's the great and dreadful God. He's the high and lofty one who inhabits the praises of Israel. He's the eternal God, and underneath are His everlasting arms. Listen, on and on we could go about who God is, and you can praise Him in that beauty of holiness for His character, for who God is. We call this a time of thanksgiving, and it is. And I'm grateful our generations in the past saw it important enough to establish a day for the nation to have a time of thanksgiving. That we have forgotten much of the reason behind it is obvious, but I'm still glad for it. That word thanksgiving and the word praise are very, very similar, and they're very often linked in Scripture. Let me give you an example. Psalm 100, verse 4 says this, "Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name." In fact, in Psalm 100, verse 4, you kind of get a definition of the word thanksgiving, and of the word praise in the last half of that verse. He says, we're to enter into His gates with thanksgiving, into His courts with praise, and then the definition. In other words, be thankful unto Him. The word thanksgiving, simple definition, it means you're thankful. Thank you, God, for the food you've given me. Thank you for the clothes on my back. Thank you for eyes to see with and ears to hear with and feet to walk with. Thank you for the house I live in. Thank you for the vehicle you've given me. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And into his courts with praise. The last half of the verse, bless his name. Bless his character. You say, well, I don't have much to thank him for, but every born-again child of God has abundantly much to bless his name for. Much. With thanksgiving, I'm expressing gratefulness for what he has done. With praise, I'm blessing him for who he is. Who he is. So in a sense, Jehoshaphat, who did not yet have victory in hand and could not thank him yet for victory, could praise the God of the impossible for who he was. Psalm 34:1 says this, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. I'll praise the Lord at all times. Brother, when you're blessed, and brother, when you feel like you're cursed, when things are going well, and when things feel like they're falling apart, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Third thing I want you to notice this morning, look at verses 23 through 25. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir. Mount Seir is the Edomites, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and to destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy one another. And when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude, and behold, they were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them in abundance both riches with the dead bodies and precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves, more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days in gathering of the spoil. It was so much. Jehoshaphat, thirdly, praised from the promise. You say, that makes absolutely no sense. What do you mean he prays from the promise? Well, I really don't expect you to understand that, because I would never have understood that had I sat where you're sitting and heard somebody say that. You know, we have the pastor's prayer meeting every Friday, and one of the men, one of the pastors, their church is just being abundantly blessed right now. They're just growing and growing and growing, and they've come to the point where they have no room to park. And there's a city park beside the church, and he has contacted the city about purchasing that park, and the city says, absolutely not. We will never sell that park to you. There's no way. He said, before he contacted them, he began to pray, God, we need parking. This is really the only available place. And God, I'm asking, you said you supply all of our need according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. This is a need. They literally have people driving to the church on Sundays and just driving on off because there's no place to park. That's a good problem to have, by the way. And so he said, God, I'm asking you to supply the need, and the obvious need would be that right there. God, would you supply that for us? And he said he was praying about this for months, and he said just one day the Holy Spirit spoke to him and said, it's yours. That park is yours. So based on Scripture, my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He prayed to the promise. And the moment the Holy Spirit spoke and said, it is yours, he now prays from the promise. Does that make sense? He prays from the promise. He's already gotten the answer, but listen, he has yet to convince the city to sell him that park or give him that park. Oh, it'll happen because God's already promised it. Don't know when it's going to happen, but it'll happen. And Jehoshaphat was now praying from the promise. He was praising, I should say, to the promise. When he heard God's man stand and from God's word say, the victory is yours. But they still hadn't had victory. But when they marched and they watched those three nations literally wipe each other out, now he praised from the promise. Because God fulfills his promises. God fulfills his word. They praise because they expected God to fulfill his word. And he would. And he did. You find that similar thing in the book of Daniel. You don't have to turn there, but Daniel prayed and sought the Lord for answers. And you know what? God answered him immediately. But he didn't get the answer immediately. God answered him, but Daniel did not receive the answer immediately. Remember, we're told after he had prayed that Gabriel, 21 days later, comes to Daniel and said, I was given an answer 21 days ago by God that your prayer is answered. However, the prince of Persia, that demonic entity over the Persian Empire, came against me. And it wasn't until Michael, your prince, that angelic entity, came and did literal battle with that demonic force, that Gabriel, God's messenger, was able to break through and come to Daniel and say, here's the answer. I mean, it was actually given 21 days ago, but here's the answer today. Here it is for you. Listen, God fulfills his promises. And you may not receive it immediately, but God fulfills his promises. He will. God is not a man that he should lie. Amen. He will fulfill his promises. It's my duty to believe him. And you know what? It's my duty to praise to the promise and praise from the promise. The last thing I want you to see this morning is found in verses 26 and 28. And the fourth day they assembled themselves in the valley of Berakah, for there they blessed the Lord. Therefore the name of the same place was called the valley of Berakah unto this day. Then they returned every man of Judah and Jerusalem and Jehoshaphat in the forefront of them to go again to Jerusalem with joy, for the Lord had made them rejoice over their enemies. And they came to Jerusalem with psalteries and harps and trumpets unto the house of the Lord. The last thing I want you to notice is this, that Jehoshaphat praised after the answer was delivered and fulfilled. Joshua praised after the fulfillment. You notice in the middle of verse 26, it says, there they blessed the Lord. There in that place where God gave Judah victory, they praised the Lord because the victory that was promised was now fulfilled. It's interesting that name Barakah means the place of blessing. The place of blessing. But notice where the place of blessing was. In the valley. Look at me. Some of you are going through the valley right now. You know where you often find the blessing? Not on the mountaintops. In your valleys. You say, what do you mean by in your valleys? Well, the valley for Israel was a place of war. A place of trial. Some of the greatest blessings you will ever find, and I can say this as a testimony to you, many of the greatest blessings that have ever befallen my life have been in the midst of valleys for me. But here's what happens. When victory does come and God brings relief, we're quick to forget. We are a forgetful people. And that's why God constantly says, remember, 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 remember! That's why tonight you ought to be here to remember his death until he come. Why? Because we are a forgetful people. Jehoshaphat could have got so caught up in the victory, he just went around and said, whoo, man, look at all this gold, look at all these jewels, look at all this loot that we have. And you know what happens many times when God abundantly blesses us? You know what we do? Same thing Israel did. Forget God. I don't need you now. I got everything I need. I don't need you now. I got it. Jehoshaphat said, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to bless the Lord at all times. I'm going to obey your scripture. Let everything out of breath praise the Lord. Praise you, the Lord. I'm going to do that. And Jehoshaphat and the people, after the victory was had, praised the Lord. Some in this auditorium today are living a life from a standpoint you've had victory recently in your life. Some are in the midst of the valley. I don't care what your position is. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Let me tell you why. Because he's worthy. He is worthy. He's worthy. Will you stand with me this morning with your heads bowed? There is no God like our God. The reality is there is no other God. And if you say, I have no reason to praise him today, you have a reason to praise him just because of who he is. And maybe this morning you just want to come to this altar and just praise him this morning. You say, well, I can't praise him for victory because I'm still waiting for it. Then come and praise him in the beauty of holiness. Maybe God's given you a recent victory. Maybe you just need to come and praise him for what he's done. Maybe you need to come because you're afraid this morning and just cry out to him, Lord, I don't know what to do. I have no might. I'm fearful. Then tell him. He is a good God. He's proven himself over and over and over again. He's a good God. Maybe you're here this morning and you don't know him as your Savior. The greatest gift he ever gives and the greatest victory you can ever have is the victory you can have through Jesus Christ, through his death, his burial, and resurrection. You put your faith and trust in him, he will give you salvation. That's the greatest of all gifts. In just a moment, we're going to sing. And when we sing, if you need to come to this altar, you come. If you need to have somebody just step aside and talk to you about salvation, we'll have somebody take you and just take you aside privately and talk with you if you need to talk to someone about that. Father, use what we've heard for your glory. We pray these things in Jesus' name. With our heads bowed, I'm going to have Andrea begin to play. And if you need to come this morning, I encourage you to come right now. Maybe you just want to come to praise him.